Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to our half-hour English feature program. I'm Susie Hodges, wishing all of our listeners a happy and blessed Christmas. Coming up on today's program, No Crib for a Bed, we present our traditional Christmas play written and produced by Jill Bevilacqua. She takes us back to the year 1223, when St. Francis of Assisi set up a special crib on a hillside near the town of Greccio in central Italy.
Representations of Christ's nativity existed from early times. The Catacomb of St. Sebastian has a 4th century fresco showing a crib with ox and donkey bending over of the Holy Child. And in the Church of St. Mary Major in Rome is a famous crib set up by Pope Sixtus III in the mid-5th century. And according to tradition, part of the original manger was believed to have been brought there from Bethlehem in the year 642 under the pontificate of Theodore I. Until 1870, it was traditional for the Pope to celebrate midnight mass at this crib. Live representations of cribs in churches took place in France in the 11th, 12th and 13th centuries, but these ludi theatrales gradually lost their sacred character, becoming so crude and tasteless, with, for example, priests playing the parts of midwives, that Pope Innocent III forbade them altogether. Francis of Assisi had no time for silver and gold cribs or elaborate nativity dramas. He wanted to inspire devotion in the people by showing the reality, the conditions of poverty and discomfort of the birth of Christ. No one has ever surpassed him.
It's a live crib.
Well, it's still a play. We have to act. I'm going to be Joseph.
Oh!
But you don't have to say anything.
That doesn't matter. It's still a play.
It isn't.
Now, don't argue, children. Come and have some tea.
Mmm, cookies. You just made them for us.
I trust you to smell them out. Come on, then. Help yourselves and then tell me more about the play or the crib.
They call it Crash in America.
But that's not a crib, it's a baby park. Jesus wasn't born in a baby park.
Children, please. It doesn't really matter what we call it. Crèche is just the French word.
But why do we call it a crib, Grandma? A crib's a cradle, isn't it? And baby Jesus didn't have a cradle. It was a manger. It says so in the song.
And in the Bible.
Well, yes, well, you're both right. Well, a crib is a cradle in a way because it's used for tiny babies. But the word actually comes from an old German word, krebbe, which means a basket.
Like a Moses basket.
Hmm.
But Jesus was born in a stable, wasn't he?
Well, we only have St. Luke's Gospel to go by. Do you remember what he says? And she brought forth her firstborn son.
And wrapped him in swaddling clothes.
And laid him in a manger. So it was a stable.
Hmm.
'Cause a manger's for animals to eat from, isn't it, Gran?
Yes, it is indeed.
Manger means to eat in French, and it's spelt manger.
Oh, goodness, you are knowledgeable, aren't you? Now, let's see what my dictionary says, shall we?
That's a real old book, Grandma.
Ah, here we are. I've got it. Crib, the stall or cabin of an ox.
Oh,
so that's it. There was an ox in the stable where Jesus was born.
Well, we think so. And certainly there's an ox in every Christmas crib.
And a donkey.
Yes.
But who actually invented the Christmas crib? Was it Sir Francis of Assisi? My teacher says it was.
Well, in a way, there were cribs before St. Francis's time. But it was certainly St. Francis who made it so popular. And he used live animals.
Live animals? How did he do that? In the church? I don't think our parish priest would let us bring animals into the church.
Probably not. But St. Francis loved animals, so I don't think he would have minded. but then he didn't make his crib in a church.
Where did he make it then?
Well, shall I tell you the story of Francis's crib?
Oh, yes, please, Grandma.
Yes.
Well, this is how it was. You see, when Francis began to get old and sick, he decided to live away from the towns and cities and retire to the hills so he could be alone with God.
Like a hermit?
Something like that. Well, after looking round a while, he settled on the top of a high hill above a village called Greccio. But the people of Greccio weren't very happy about it. They wanted Francis to live with them. So they went to the squire, the man who lived in the castle at the top end of the village. Sir John Velita was his name. He was a good friend of Francis. And he said he'd see what he could do.
Like someone stocking up firewood. Let's go and see who it is.
Oh, Sir John, good morning to you. You're out early.
Morning, Guido. Well met. Yes, we're on our way to see Brother Francis. Yeah, if we can make it up there, that is. I'm not as young as I used to be. Well, I'd better be on my way. Here, Benno, come on. There's no game for you in these woods. Bye then, Guido.
Good day, Sir John. Ask Brother Francis to pray for us all down here.
I will indeed. Hey, look at that hawk up there, Benno. Now, there's a bird for you. Wish I had his wings instead of these gammy legs.
Sir John!
Oh,
Sir John Velita, what brings you up here on these heights? Hello, Benno.
You may well ask, Brother Francis, but who invented them, is what I say. Who invented these heights? For a man of my age and size...
Oh, indeed, my dear Sir John, but he who invented them first made you strong and spare, a valiant soldier without fear of men on mountains.
Indeed. Those were the days, Brother Francis, when I would leap into the saddle and... Oh, but I forgot... I brought you a present.
A present?
A rabbit for your dinner.
Oh. Thank you for your kind thought, but don't bring me any of God's creatures for my dinner. I'd rather see them running free. Oh. You should know that by now.
Well, very well, Brother Francis, but I didn't catch this little fellow, and it wasn't Benno either. I found
him. Yes, I know. In a snare.
But I didn't set it, brother. I promise you, I...
It's all right, Brother John. I may call you Brother John?
Of course, Master.
No, just brother will do for me, too. Now then, tell me, what's your news? How are your people down in Greccio?
Yes, down in Greccio, that's just it. We are down and you are up. But we need you down.
It sounds like a children's game. So, go on, John.
Well, the people asked me to... You see, they want you... We want you to come down and live with us near the castle.
Within the walls, hmm?
That's it. That's it. Within the walls. With us. We want you. We need you. Do come, dear brother. We'll make you a house wherever you choose.
Thank you, Brother John. It's good of you and your people to be so thoughtful. Tell you what, let's leave it to the Lord to decide. But I'll make you a promise. I will live no further from the castle than this. Find a young boy and take a burning brand from your household fire and tell him to throw it as far as he can. And I will make my dwelling where the brand falls.
Oh, brother, yes, yes. Let's go down then and find a boy, and we will start to build your house.
I do not need a house. But come, let's go down.
Ah, yes.
So too. If he were living here among us, things would be different, I'm sure.
Oh, they would, but he seems to prefer being up on that hill. They say he sleeps on the cold stone. Can't be good for him.
No, but he's a holy man of God, and they don't seem to get all those ills like us common folk.
Oh, they do, but they don't talk about it. As for Francis, he's not a well man.
Right,
but he...
there.
Hey, what's going on over there? Look, Martha.
Oh, it's him. It's Brother Francis. And old Sir John. They're bending over something.
That's young Matt with them. What's he doing with that log? It's a light.
He's throwing it.
It's going over there.
To the other side.
The wood's on fire.
But he's only a lad. How could he throw that far?
It's a sign from heaven.
Oh, we won't have him here after all.
So that's where you have to be, Brother Francis. Up on high.
Don't be despondent, John. I'm still with you, even if I'm not among you. Listen, I have a request. It's something I've been thinking about for some time.
Anything you ask is yours, dear brother.
Well, it's rather unusual. It has to do with the Holy Feast, which is not so far off.
The Feast of Christmas?
That's it, John. Christmas. The Feast of Feasts. For me, the most beautiful of them all. The day when God became a little child and nourished himself with the milk of a woman. And so I thought I should like to celebrate the coming feast of the birth of our Savior with you.
Oh.
Yes, with you and all the people of Gretchen.
Oh, brother, you would come down here for Christmas?
No, not exactly.
Oh.
No, don't look so gloomy, John. Listen, you have a property, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
On the other side of the hill?
I do. You need it. It's yours.
No, John, I don't need it. Rather, I do. But only for one night.
One night? But it's only a hill.
Yes, I know, but there are caves, aren't there?
Oh, yes, there are lots of caves all over. But what would you want with them?
I'll tell you. I should like to commemorate the birth of our Savior in a special way. I should like to show that birth at Bethlehem.
Oh.
I've been there, you know, John.
Yes, Brother Francis, I know. And you went to see the Turk, too, the infidel.
Yes, but God loves the infidel, too, John.
So you say, though I...
Yes, he does. But let's leave that for the moment. What I want to do is to show the birth of our dear Lord in as realistic a way as possible. To show its poverty... All the discomfort and suffering of that birth.
But how?
I'll tell you, John, I'll tell you. You must find a suitable cave up there on your hill and prepare a manger, you know, like your animals have. Fill it with hay, fresh hay, and then there are the animals.
The animals?
Yes, the ox and the donkey.
Uh-huh.
Like those that kept the infant Jesus company and warmed him with their breath on that cold night. It was cold, you know. It's not always warm, not even in Palestine.
It will be cold here on Christmas night. And when we have prepared the manger and the animals, what then?
Well, then we shall have the parish priest celebrate the holy sacrifice, and I shall be deacon and sing the gospel.
Ah, and we shall all come up from Gretcho.
Yes, John, all of you. Men, women, children, every one of you. And my friars will come from the hermitages round about, and we'll all celebrate the Holy Feast together. What do you say? Will you lend me your mountain for Christmas night?
Oh, indeed I will. And what a night it will be. But will the parish priest agree to come? He's very correct, you know, very obedient to the bishop.
I know, but you needn't worry. I have the permission of one who is over the parish priest.
The bishop?
The Pope.
Oh.
The Holy Father himself gave me leave when I was in Rome last.
Oh, the Holy Father himself. Oh, well, then there's no problem at all. So Well, I must begin to prepare this Christmas.
Oh, yes, indeed, John. But what about the climb?
Huh?
Will you not find it too much, a man of your age and size?
Oh, dear, you certainly have me sized up, Brother Francis. Yes, I shall find it a bit of an effort, but you will help me with your prayers,
yes.
And it will be a different sort of Christmas.
Yes, it will be a different sort of Christmas.
Yes.
And did they really make a crib with live animals up on top of the mountain?
Oh, yes. But they had a few problems getting it organized.
Why was that? Didn't the people want to do it?
Oh, the people thought it was a great idea. Well, the young ones did. Some of the older folk took a little while to come round to it. You know, when you get old, you don't like change. There were those who said they weren't going to climb a mountain just to get to their Christmas mass. And those who said Francis was always getting fancy ideas. And what was wrong with having Christmas just the way they'd always had it? There was a perfectly good church right there in the village.
Yes. What about the parish priest? Did he like the idea?
Well, he grumbled a bit at first. He wasn't a young man, either. But when John told him that the Pope had given Francis permission, well, he couldn't really object then, could he?
And did they take a real manger up there? I mean, or did they have to make one?
Well, no. They used a big boulder that was there. In the cave.
Oh, it was a cave. How exciting. I love caves.
Brr, I don't. I think they're spooky. They have bats and they get in your hair.
Now that's what they call an old wife's tale. Bats are far more afraid of people than the other way round.
Did Francis love bats, Grandma? They say he loved all animals.
Yes, he did. You know, he even used to pick up the worms off the road so people wouldn't tread on them.
Worms? Ugh!
And in the winter, he used to warm wine and give it to the bees.
But tell us about that Christmas night in Greccio, Grandma.
How do we know really what happened?
Well, there was a friar called Thomas of Celano who wrote it all down. You see, St. Francis was such a holy man that only 2 years after he died, he was canonized. That means the Pope declared him a saint. And so, that people would know more about Francis, the Pope asked Brother Thomas, who had been received as a friar by Francis himself, to write the story of his life. And that's how we know what happened that Christmas night in Greccio.
The great day came at last, the time of rejoicing. The friars were summoned from various places, and the men and women of the area all came joyfully, carrying, each according to his possibilities, tapers and torches to brighten up the night.
Won't be soon when we're all together. But here, you take the lantern.
Oh, I wish the others had waited for us.
We'll catch them up. Don't worry.
What's that?
It's all right. It's only the shepherd's kid. You behave yourselves, children, or there'll be no sweetmeats for you this Christmas night.
Are you sure this is the way, Martha? I don't remember this path.
Well, it always looks different at night.
There wasn't a path the last time we came this way.
And we were gathering firewood, you mean? But that was a while ago. Sir John's men have been out all this week clearing a way up to the top.
Ah, he's a good man, old Sir John. And he'd do anything for Brother Francis.
That he would. He's a changed man since Francis came to these parts. Now, hold on to me. This is the beginning of the climb.
Have we got to get right to the top?
I'm afraid so.
Oh, I don't know. Mountain climbing at our age. Whoever would have thought it?
Only my old man could see me. If he'd been alive.
He'd have been up there with the first of them.
That's true. He would indeed.
Listen to them.
That's Jack the Carman's voice, surely.
That's right. He and his boys are bringing the ox, or so I heard.
And the friars are going to borrow old Mother Berta's donkey. And how they're going to get the animals up there, I can't imagine. Oh, listen to that. It's not the children this time. That's a screech owl. It's not a good sign.
It's all right. Don't worry. Francis has promised nothing will harm us tonight. And after all, it's Christmas.
But what if the wolves? Oh, there they are. Oh, Martha. Oh, where's my son? He should have joined us by now. Oh, I'm not coming. I'm going back home.
Don't worry, Mom.
Oh, there you are, Guido. Did you hear that? Wolves!
Yes, yes, I did. But you mustn't worry. They're a long way off, and they won't come any nearer.
Oh, come on. Let's go back, Martha.
Now stop being silly, Mother. Francis has given us his word. No beast or bird will harm us tonight.
No. And all the animals love and respect that holy man. And look, there are lights all over the wood now. They say the people are coming from the villages all around.
Yes, and when the wolves see all these lights, they'll keep their distance. They'll think it's a fire. So cheer up, Mother, and follow me. Hold her hand, will you, Martha? Oh. Now, let's see. Ah, yes, here we are, through this thicket, and then up this last bit, and we should soon be there.
Oh, it's getting very steep. Oh, I don't know whether I can get up there. Oh, I've got to stop a minute. Get my breath.
Hold on to me. We're not far from the top now. What's going on over there? Sounds like someone's having trouble.
Isn't that Brother Rufino's voice?
Oh, that friar who never talks to anyone.
Well, he's very shy. But I've heard say that he finds it easier to talk to God than to people. Seems he prays even when he's asleep.
It's lying around here and we're getting nowhere.
Well, he's not praying now. Listen.
That's not Rufino. It's Brother Angelo.
Come on, you lazy beast. Get up there.
Not like that, brother. Francis will be upset if you call her a beast.
Well, that's what she is, Rufino. And she's behaving like one.
Oh,
come on, brother. Pull harder or we'll never get up there in time.
I can't pull any harder, brother. She's heavy.
She's not moving at all.
Oh, Angelo, I'm slipping. Help. Oh, holy mother Mary.
Oh, Rufino, whatever possessed Francis to ask you to help me? Give us a hand. Hope you get there. There you are. A wretched creature's gone down again. Here, come back, you she-devil.
Oh, Angelo! Oh, holy saints in heaven, forgive him.
Leave the holy saints alone a minute, Rufino. Come down here and help me.
Oh, dear Lord, why did Francis give me this job? I can't see. Where are you, Angelo? My lantern's gone out.
Never mind. Stay where you are, I'll get down to you. If I can persuade this animal to budge. Here, up you come. There's a good girl. Ah, thank the Lord.
Angelo, quick, they're coming. Hurry. The brothers, listen. We'll be late. Francis wants us...
I know what Francis wants, brother, and I'm doing it. Now, be a good fellow and just pull as hard as you can. There. That's it. We're there.
Oh, thanks be to God.
We made it, girl.
Well, I never thought I would. Where's Guido? Oh, he's over there. What a lot of people. Oh, look at that.
What?
Oh,
However did they get the old ox up here?
And look, there's Brother Angelo with a donkey and Brother Rufino.
He looks washed out. He doesn't eat enough.
It's all that praying, I expect. Francis says he's a saint.
Maybe, but even saints have to eat.
Let's get closer, Martha. I want to see.
Come over here. Look, there's the priest. See?
I can't see him.
Hold on to me and stand on that bit of rock. There. Can you see him now?
Oh, yes. Oh, I can see. And there's Sir John Vanita and his wife.
Lady Alticama. Well, that's a surprise. I never thought she'd make it up here with her rheumatics.
I expect Sir John had her brought up in a litter.
Oh, look, there's Brother Leo.
Oh, yes, the gentle one. Francis brings him his little sheep. Did you know that?
What's he holding?
Oh, there you are, children. Can you see all right?
Yes, but why has he got a doll?
It's an image of the Christ child, the holy babe of Bethlehem.
He's talking to Sir John, but where's Francis? Oh, there he is.
Why is he all dressed up?
That's the dalmatic. He's the deacon.
He has to sing the gospel.
Oh, look. They're putting hay on the rock. Is that for the animals? But where are the animals?
That rock's the manger, see?
Oh, they're putting the doll on it.
There are the animals. They're leading them in now.
It's the old ox and Mother Berta's donkey.
Shh, quiet, child, now. They're beginning.
Oh, isn't it beautiful, Martha? What a night. What a Christmas it will be.
Aren't you glad now you didn't turn back?
The Holy One of God saw that all had been prepared and he rejoiced. The manger is there, the hay is brought, the ox and the donkey are led in. There simplicity is honored, poverty is exalted, humility is praised, and Correccio is transformed into a new Bethlehem.
And that play was written and produced by Jill Bevilacqua. The voices you heard were those of Arthur Baum, Ken Bolton, Julia Cirillo, Sylvia Favor, John Gayford, Abbott Gilbert Jones, Thaddeus Jones, Julian Lovett, Benjamin Marino, Helen Sterling, Frank Van Guggenheim, and Veronica Wells. And that concludes today's broadcast. Thanks so much for joining me, Susie Hodges, here on Vatican Radio. A very happy and peaceful Christmas to all of you, wherever you might be. Until next time, Laudato Jesus Christus.